The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
Fantasy, you're in the home 6010. Focus. Fantasy. Fantasy Focus.
The NFL regular season is here. Matthew Berry, I'm Field Yates. We're here in week one.
We are.
We made it through Labor Day. It's time to crank it up. What a busy week. It was absolutely crazy. We have football, though, in just 2 days. That is awesome, awesome news. Fired up.
Can't wait. Part Scott voice. Can't wait.
That's pretty good right there. Impressed.
Not bad.
One of the better all-time postgame interviews from our friend Sal Pal with Bart Scott, of course, after a big victory for the Jets back in the day. So tons of news to get you for the weekend. We've got football this week, got all kinds of content, the usual rollout.
How many drafts do you have left?
Three. How about you?
I have lost track. I think I have nine left.
Nine left?
I have three tonight. I have one tomorrow. I have one Friday and two Saturdays. So how many is that?
That would be six.
So I have six left.
The rare Saturday drafts, huh?
No, that's more than six. Three tonight.
Oh, you have seven
two,
then.
Three tonight. Oh, I have two tomorrow. I have two on Wednesday. Three tonight, two on Wednesday. One on Friday is six. Two on Saturday is eight.
You need a life.
And then I just did, I'm doing two vampire leagues again this year. And so with a bunch of guys on the Fantasy Life app, and so they did their drafts last night. So I still have to go in and pick all my free agent waiver wire guys. So not really a draft, but I do have to do that. So I guess 10 leagues technically left. So yeah, I have more leagues this year than I've ever had before in my life. It's a little too much.
You have no life.
It's a little too much.
Rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
It's going to be kind of weird when you don't win any of those leagues. I digress.
Super awkward. If I do so many of them, eventually I'm bound to win one of them. I'll play one with my kids and cheat.
Yeah, it'll be nice. You should make a huge trophy for that.
Obviously.
A reminder.
One of them tonight is Celebrity League.
Yep.
The podcast Celebrity League. So we'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow.
Looking forward to cranking that up. And yep. Good news, by the way, Baltimore live show is 2 weeks from tonight at Rams Head Live. Daniel, ramsheadlive.com. Are there tickets available, yay or nay?
There are a few tickets still available, not many, but ramsheadlive.com.
Okay, for your Baltimore, last chance Maryland. At tickets, because by the time we are back tomorrow, they will be sold out. It was the busiest transaction weekend of the year in the NFL. So let's get right to it. Perhaps the biggest news is not quite done yet, but it's at the goal line, which is that the Cowboys and Ezekiel Elliott are furthering their negotiations towards a new contract. Of course, as we know, this has been a long, drawn-out process. The latest, and this began with Adam Schefter's reporting, I think on Saturday was the first time that he brought it into the conversation. Basically, the Cowboys and Zeke have made progress towards an extension.
By the way, I'm sorry, and I keep harping on this, and I shouldn't, but it's unbelievable to me. Like, so what happens is, and I just hope people realize this and are following and paying attention. Schefter reports something, right? So Schefter reports, like, hey, which was breaking news, right? That, hey, the two sides are meeting, they're going to work through the weekend, they're optimistic about getting a deal done throughout the weekend. This was on Friday afternoon. So it was the first that anyone knew that they were actually meeting, that they were close. Okay, and so I'm paraphrasing, but that's basically what he reported, right? And then throughout the weekend, there are all these people like, I'm reporting that they're meeting. I'm reporting that they're close. I'm reporting that, and it's just like, you mean like what Schefter report on Friday? That's what you're reporting? Like, people, like, per sources. Is your source Schefter's Twitter feed? Like, what's going on, people?
It's
ridiculous sometimes. So, anyway, whatever. And Schefter doesn't need me to defend him, but it just, I don't know. It's a bugaboo of mine. It's a pet peeve. If you will.
There you
have it. Where credit is not given, where credit should be given.
So anyways, Schefter's headline right now regarding Ezekiel Elliott is that a deal is getting close for the Cowboys. So let's put it this way. There's been a lot of ebbs and flows throughout this negotiation. But as we sit here this morning, Matthew, it seems possible that by the time you do your three drafts tonight or others do their drafts tonight, there might be some certainty with Ezekiel Elliott deal. That being said, until it is done, has your draft strategy approached Has it switched as you approach your draft tonight in regards to Zeke?
It has somewhat. Look, I think what you have to take in mind here is that they're talking, I mean, you compare that with the Steelers and Le'Veon Bell last year, or Melvin Gordon and the Chargers right now, who aren't talking at all. They're talking. Remember, the Dallas Cowboys, if they want to, control Ezekiel Elliott's rights for the next 5 years, right? They've got 2 years left on the deal, and they could franchise him for the next three. So in theory, right? I mean, in theory, they don't have to do anything for the next 5 years if they wanted to, right? But they're talking. They're negotiating. They're saying, like, okay, even though you've got 2 years left on your deal, Ezekiel, we will still try to meet you in the middle and try to get you some more money. So the fact that they're meeting and their willingness to talk tells me that this gets done sooner rather than later. And so, again, you go back to 2017, Field, when Ezekiel Elliott missed six games. He was the 12th best running back in fantasy in total points that year, despite missing six games. He was running back three on a points per game basis. So, yes, I have moved him up to running back four in my overall ranks.
And I have him at running back three. I could see a very compelling case for him being running back four. To your point, Matthew, I think this is the takeaway, is that if you're drafting tonight, Ezekiel Elliott should go in the first four picks.
100%.
If I have the fourth pick, and by the way, I have the fourth pick in the War Room League draft that we'll have tomorrow night.
Like, yeah.
I am sitting there.
So Ezekiel Elliott's not getting past you.
I get the strong feeling he will not get past me at pick four. Now, that being said, he could be gone before pick four. Would you take him any sooner than pick four right now? Because you and I have had this conversation. If we had 16 games of Zeke, we could make the case for him as number one fantasy this year. Or because of the doubt, the sliver of doubt that remains, would you just slot him at four and leave him?
Yeah, there's a sliver of doubt. Because even if he – and so, again, you have to nitpick at this level, right? And I would be thrilled if I went into the season with any one of the big four as my first-round pick, right? Whether it's Barkley, McCaffrey, Kamara, or Ezekiel Elliott, right? And then I have David Johnson at five. So, honestly, any one of those five. But my take here, Field, is that – there's the fact that there's certainly a chance that he misses at least week one and maybe multiple games. And we just don't know what kind of shape he's in. You know, he's been working out in Cabo. So is he in football shape? You know, there's a little bit of a difference. And so even if he signs tonight and even if he plays in week one, does he get a full workload? You know, or do they mix him in a little bit, try to ease him back?
Don't think he's good. I think when he shows up, it's basically regular old Ezekiel Elliott. He cranks up, and as we said, he is, you know, last year averaged 20 carries and 5 catches per game. The guy is an absolute freight train for them when he's on the field.
By the way, you look at their upcoming schedule, right? So they play the Giants in week one.
The schedule doesn't matter with Zeke.
This is my point. So week one, they're against the Giants. They're home against the Giants. Week two, they're at my Redskins. Week three, they're against the Dolphins. So that's a nice, easy stretch that, again, if Zeke maybe isn't in, you know, fully game shape. But by the way, if Ezekiel Elliott were to miss any time, fire up Tony Pollard. And so that's the other piece of it I would say is that.
Correct. What does this mean for Tony Pollard now? Like, if you've drafted him and the person who also, but you were not the person that drafted Zeke, are you making a last-ditch effort to trade Tony Pollard to Ezekiel Elliott? Are you instead holding on to Pollard in case maybe perhaps Zeke does not show up and you have 2 weeks of Tony Pollard utility?
Yeah, I mean, so first off, by the way, Tony Pollard's ADP hasn't really totally caught up. He's currently going in the 15th round on ESPN.com as running back 46. So that's lower than I would currently have him. I would want to, if I drafted Ezekiel Elliott, I think he's so important, I would reach for him like in the 7th or 8th round. I would want to make sure I grabbed Tony Pollard. Okay, so then you talk about that. If there's two scenarios. One, I have drafted Tony Pollard, but I don't have Ezekiel Elliott. I am trying to hold out for a decent amount, right? He didn't cost you much at the draft. He didn't cost you a lot of draft capital. At this point, he is more valuable to the Ezekiel Elliott manager than he is to you.
Right.
So if I have Tony Pollard and I don't have Zeke, I'm asking for a king's ransom, because name a backup player that has more upside right now than Tony Pollard. If anything were to happen to Ezekiel Elliott, or if this holdout lasts longer than you thought, Tony Pollard's a top 10 fantasy running back as long as Ezekiel Elliott is out. So I would try to get as much as I could from the person that drafted Ezekiel Elliott. Now, if I'm the other reverse, right? I've drafted Ezekiel Elliott, but I don't have Tony Pollard. Now's the time to try to make a move with the reports out there that a deal is close. Like, you know, maybe you play a slight premium, but you're just sort of like, listen, he's coming back soon. So, like, if I have to do without him for a game or two, whatever, not buys there. So that would be the attitude I would take. I would take a hard line with whoever has Tony Pollard. I would not pay through the nose for them.
If you have Tony Pollard, you're playing up the narrative that, like, hey, Zeke, until it's done, it's not done. You might miss a couple games. If you have Zeke, you tell the person who has Tony Pollard, dude, He's coming back. My guy Zeke is signing today. You better give him to me because soon enough he's going to go for nothing.
Twitter.com/@AdamSchefter. Look at, I mean, just seriously, like, it's coming back. It's happening. It's going to happen anytime soon. So that's what I think you're doing here. If you haven't drafted yet and you do draft Ezekiel Elliott, I do think you reach for Tony Pollard because I think he is the most important handcuff out there.
Over the weekend, Chargers general manager Tom Telesco said the team is going to table talks with running back Melvin Gordon until after the season, which means basically this. Melvin's not getting the, let's say, $13 million per year contract.
He's not getting anything. They're like, we're done. You can play under the...
$5.4 million for Melvin Gordon, the fifth year option for him, of course, the final year of his rookie contract. So what we know is that Melvin Gordon wants a new contract or he's not going to return to the Chargers, he says. So basically, we have gotten to the point where Melvin Gordon, the scenario of him returning by week 10 seems more, even more likely than it was already, which was already sort of there. Is Melvin Gordon even draftable anymore?
Only as a late round flyer, only as somebody that, you know, is just sort of gravy. Now, so I mentioned that I have three drafts tonight.
Yeah.
Right. So one of them's a 16 teamer. One of them's a 14 teamer, which the celebrity league that we're doing tonight is a 14 teamer.
Yep.
And one of them is my longtime college dynasty league, where Melvin Gordon has been rostered since he was a rookie. So he's not even available. But in those leagues where they're deep, yeah, I might take a flyer on him at some point, but I think you draft Melvin Gordon with the idea you're not getting anything out of him. He is a flyer and nothing else. And you should, I would not want to go into the season having to count on Melvin Gordon. He should be somebody that, you know, when it gets to a certain round, and I'm looking at our
talking
80,
like round 8, round 7.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm trying to find where he is on our
drafting
our
a backup. Otherwise,
yeah, where he is in our ADP? I'm trying to.
I think he's still up there.
Yeah, like, I mean, he's going in the fifth round. That's way too rich for my blood. Eighth round, something like that. I'm okay with it. Seventh, eighth round. I legitimately think there's a good chance. There's a better than average chance that he sits out for a long time, because with the Chargers basically saying, like, yeah, we're not negotiating. We were at $10 million. You wanted 12 to 13. We're not going to meet in the middle anymore. You're playing for 5.4. That's it. So if you're Melvin Gordon, I think you have the attitude, and Melvin Gordon is somebody who's been banged up in his career already. It appears that he has the same attitude that Le'Veon Bell did last year, which is, I'm not going to go, you know, have a massive workload and risk further injury prior to getting to free agency. I'm going to put as little wear and tear on my body as possible. Now, it's a different situation than Le'Veon Bell, obviously, last year, because he's still under contract.
A different contract situation. Yeah,
correct.
It is. Yep.
So Melvin Gordon has to report at some point this year.
Right.
Right? I believe.
He does. Week 10 is still correct. He's got to be there by week 10 in order to get through to free agency next offseason. So there's a chance that he'll be there before week 10, but week 10 feels like the drop-dead date. In that case, you know, we're talking about Kareem Hunt, a comparably talented player. Now, there's Nick Chubb in Cleveland, but, like, we're saying Kareem Hunt's not even draftable.
Correct.
Like, running back 50 right now in terms of rankings. So,
because, again, you think about sort of the schedule. I need to pull up the Chargers schedule here. But so the Chargers schedule, can you pull it up for me?
But there, I think I'm, again, a little bit less worried about the schedule for Melvin Gordon. It's just the number of games.
Hear me out. So just think about this for a second. He's not coming back till week 10. Let's play that out, right?
Okay.
So Thirsty College throws it up. So week 12 is their bye. So you're not using him in week 10, right? Because you just don't know what kind of shape he's going to use. Are they going to, like, is there any bad blood? Are they going to not use him in a full way? You're not starting
probably
him. You would start him in week 10?
If he's back, I'm playing him, yeah. Week 10 against the Raiders, week 11 against Kansas City. Yeah, I would.
See, I'm not sure I am in week 10.
I mean,
if
I'm cooking with my other running backs, then yes, but... You know, if I'm like most people at week 10 and I'm looking for a running back and I would do almost anything for one, I'm playing Melvin Gordon.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, you just don't know what kind of shape he's in, what kind of workload he's going to get. And first week back again, there may be some bad blood. I don't know. You're more confident than I am. I mean, you'd have to see sort of the tea leaves. But I think there's a chance. Can you at least give me this? There's a scenario in which you wouldn't feel comfortable starting Melvin Gordon his first week back, right?
Yeah.
He shows up on Wednesday of week 10.
And they can coach speak us into feeling nervous, right?
Right.
Hey, you know, we'll get him involved, but
right,
we don't
we'll
want to, you know, whatever.
And by the way, if the Chargers are going good and, you know, Eckler and Jackson have carried the load, you know, like,
sure.
There's a little bit of locker room politics there, too, that you don't want to immediately pull guys that have been pulling the weight for you. Okay. So then let's say, fine. So you're nervous about using him in week 10. You use him in week 11. They have a bye in week 12. I mean, so you're really, like, sitting there looking at only like five games that you can sort of use him in. And if your season goes to week 17. So, yeah, I mean, I think he is close to undraftable as anything other than just a YOLO, what the hell, upside flyer. Hope you get something out of him, but do not count on him as well. I will say, Field Yates, Field Minister Yates, that that the injury to Russell Okung, which came out over the weekend, so blood clots. He's been placed on the.
So he's been there. So this happened in June.
Okay.
He's been on the non-football injury list, but
right?
He remains on the non-football injury
right.
list, so he's out for 6 weeks minimum to begin the season.
I think there was some hope that maybe he would come back, and then it was just like, no. He's definitely done for at least 6 weeks. So a bad offensive line gets worse.
Yeah, an offensive line that has some question marks, certainly had another question mark added with Russell Okung, a player who's been a pretty solid, productive player for them. Not the only Charger, though, in the news. In Fantasy Trends is brought to you by TD Ameritrade, because with Melvin Gordon heading in one direction, the value of another guy, Austin Eckler, is heading in a different direction, because for as long as Melvin Gordon sits out, Matthew, the signs seem to suggest that Austin Eckler is going to be the running back you want to roster out of Los Angeles for the Chargers.
Yeah, I agree. So think about this. So I have Eckler at 29. You have him at 37, so you're a little bit lower on him. But if you look at the preseason first team snaps field, Eckler played 40 snaps with the first team in the preseason. Jackson right. just 21. Justin Jackson. And again, you think about that offensive line that has struggled previously, right? Phillip Rivers is one of the lowest in the NFL last year in terms of time to throw, right? And so, you know, what are they going to do? Like, I think it's dump offs, right? It's dump offs at Austin Eckler. It's short passes. It's Keenan Allen near the line of scrimmage. Maybe it's some Hunter Henry. So, you know what I mean? Austin Eckler, to me, I think it's probably a little bit of a running back by committee in terms of the carries between the tackles. I think it's kind of split between those two, but Eckler much more involved in the passing game. I definitely prefer Eckler to Jackson among the two of them. To that point, again, I have Eckler at 29, Jackson at 50. Again, Eckler basically double the amount of snaps that Jackson had with a first-team offense this preseason.
The reason why I have Gordon ranked higher than you do and Eckler ranked lower than you do is just it's not reporting, it's not anything hard and fast. It's just sort of instincts, it's spidey sense, if you will.
Sure.
That maybe this Melvin Gordon situation takes a hard pivot. He doesn't feel there's been a bit of a different tenor between his comments publicly about the Chargers. We've had players on his own team saying he's going to report, and I understand some of these things apply with Le'Veon Bell last year, but it just
right.
has a slightly different vibe to me that I'm putting it on the radar. Again, I feel the same way. I am allowing, in most cases, somebody else to draft Melvin Gordon,
right?
But it wouldn't stun me if we took some sort of hard pivot in the Melvin Gordon situation.
Wouldn't stun me at all. We're in the business of what's most likely to happen. And a guy that wasn't willing to pay for $10 million seems weird that he suddenly will decide to play for 5.4.
Will be interesting. That much is for sure.
And by the way, if he does pivot, then he's a moron. In all due respect, I'm sorry, but you created all this bad blood between the team that wanted to pay you an extension, and then you're going to all of a sudden tuck your tail between your legs and come in and pay for half of what they offered you?
I think they would be very happy with him coming back. I think the bad blood would, if there is any, would go away away. Melvin Gordon back for a team that is loaded and right now dealing with injuries to Derwin James and Russell Okung, and Keenan Allen's been banged up.
Yeah.
So they would take him back. LeSean McCoy is on the move. He could probably use some help finding a new home in Kansas City, Matthew. He might enlist our friends at Century 21.
Oh, I see what you did there. I see what you did there. Yes, the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Century 21 Real Estate. You constantly shuffle your lineup, scour the waiver wire, and make trades to improve your team. Shouldn't you spend the same amount of time looking for a real estate agent who makes as many relentless moves as you? 70% of people settle for the first agent they meet. Did you keep the kicker you drafted? Of course not. Century 21 agents go above and beyond to make sure their clients enjoy an extraordinary experience at every point of the home buying or selling process, even after the closing. They did the work so you don't have to, which means more time for you to figure out your flex situation. Century 21 Relentless Moves. Find a local agent today at century21.com. Century 21 Real Estate LLC fully supports the principles of the Fair Housing Act and the Equal Opportunity Act. Each office independently owned and operated.
Good stuff there. We talked about LeSean McCoy. One quick note, by the way. Adam Schefter just noted that Lyle Collins' extension with the Cowboys creates $5.7 million in cap space. I wonder what the Cowboys might be able to use that towards. Let's get to LeSean McCoy. So a couple of pieces of news here. First, LeSean McCoy.
I know. Call me.
Okay, what do you got,
call
Matthew?
I think they could use the Cowboys could use that cap space for Ezekiel Elliott.
Nice. Way to spoil it.
Or Dak Prescott or Amari Cooper. It seemed like you were asking a question. And
got it.
I felt like I knew the answer.
I kind of feel like you spoiled it. Sort of like LeSean McCoy spoils Avengers Endgames.
Yeah.
Won't say that again, but anyways, it happened. LeSean McCoy.
F that guy.
Cut in Buffalo. Lands just hours later in Kansas City. So LeSean McCoy, again, for the news, you may have missed it. On Saturday morning, LeSean McCoy was released by the Buffalo Bills, saves him a bunch of money, and not a massive surprise, as we'll talk about a little bit later on, in terms of the talent they have available. He, later on that night, reunites with Andy Reid in Kansas City, and the Chiefs also traded away Carlos Hyde to Houston. We'll get to Houston in a bit, but let's start here with just Kansas City. Where we now have is a backfield that is led by LeSean McCoy and Damian Williams. Are we still preparing for the possibility?
Can we just say one second here, just how annoying this was? He's in Kansas City, and this was disappointing to me because Damian Williams was somebody that I like a lot. Kansas City's a team I root for. Kansas City's a team that I was looking forward to, obviously. Patrick Mahomes, I'm an Andy Reid apologist, all these things, and now all of a sudden, Shady McCoy is there. All right. Obviously, this complicates matters, right? Like, I personally think LeSean McCoy is close to done, right? Like, he did not look like the same guy last year. Bad offense, bad offensive line, probably didn't have a great attitude, right? So all those things contribute. I don't know that the fact that he's done doesn't mean he won't be productive in Kansas City. Like, if you're a running back with a pulse and you're in an Andy Reid offense, you can produce fantasy numbers.
Sure.
So this complicates situations. And obviously, like, look, if you read some of the stories that Andy Reid gave, or some of the quotes from Andy Reid after his press conference, you know, he talked about the fact that it's different than what he ran in Philadelphia, that there's going to be some concepts will be the same for LeSean, but there'll be a learning curve for him. But Andy Reid said he thought he was a very bright football player and that he should be able to pick it up quickly here. Look, this makes a mess of it. And I would say that I don't know because, honestly, Field, I don't think the Chiefs know.
That's right, Matthew. Everybody, when they signed LeSean McCoy, the immediate feedback was, what does it mean for how are they going to use him? Is he going to be the lead back? Is he going to be the, you know, co-starter with Damian Williams? Is he going to be the backup? And I have to remind people that, like, teams don't necessarily evaluate these things as sort of fantasy objectively as we like to evaluate them. The Chiefs, as I understand it, were not preparing to move on from Carlos Hyde in terms of cutting him prior to that trade, which was executed on Saturday. Instead, he was still part of their plans. I know Darwin Thompson generated some steam this preseason, but now when the opportunity arose to sign LeSean McCoy, which also dovetailed with the trade of Carlos Hyde, it was, hey, for maybe $1 million or $1.5 million more, we can get a player we feel is an upgrade in LeSean McCoy, who, although last year the numbers were ugly, as you said, tough offensive line to run behind, inconsistent passing game. If there's ever a place where an offense can turn a running back into a star, we saw it last year with Damian Williams.
Yeah.
The guy was awesome out of nowhere at the end of the season when filling in for Kareem Hunt. So there are a lot of reasons why I don't want to buy the idea of LeSean McCoy being a fantasy stud. And yet in Kansas City, like, if there was ever an offense he could go to, I'm intrigued.
So I agree with everything you just said here. One thing I will want to say, though, is I saw a lot of talk on Twitter about, well, LeSean McCoy is definitely going to be the starter. Like, you don't pay a guy $4 million, you know, to have him ride the bench. Two things about this. Number one is they'd already committed to about that much for Carlos Hyde, a little bit less, but, like, they had that money available. And it's also the cost of doing business. And I know people have talked about, like, well, he's making more guaranteed money than Damian Williams. Here's the thing. So, and Field, you're better off to talk about this than I. So you tell me if you disagree with anything I'm about to say. We didn't discuss this pre-show. But my belief here is that they had to pay LeSean McCoy what they had to pay him because
there was competition.
There was competition. He had offers from the Chargers. He had offers from Philadelphia. Like, that was the going rate to get LeSean McCoy. They have Super Bowl aspirations. They thought he could be an asset to the team. They wanted to add him. They thought he was an upgrade over Carlos Hyde in terms of running back depth. Okay? In terms of Damian Williams, they signed Damian Williams to what they could get him for. There just wasn't a market for Damian Williams the way, and by the way, had this happened in May, had LeSean McCoy been released in May, they probably would have gotten him cheaper too. But just at this moment, you know, with the season about to start, there was a bidding war for services. So I wouldn't read anything into what they paid each running back in terms of how it relate, how they'll use him on the field. Do you agree with that, Field?
Yes, I agree with that. I think that, you know, maybe in a vacuum, he's not worth as much as $4 million suggests. Now, he could reach that because of the Kansas City offense. But yes, part of the reason why they paid him what they paid him is not just because of how they view him, but because of how perhaps the Chargers viewed him. Remember, a division rival who, as we know, and Shefty reported, was like that it was going to be an AFC West team one way or the other, which means Chiefs or Chargers.
Right.
You got to outbid them. You got to do it.
100%. So anyways. So you get there. How I ranked him, just to bring this full circle here, and I fully will commit that I don't have a great read on it. And to your point, the Chiefs are still, let's see what we got. Let's see what Shady has. You know, Andy Reid said, we looked at some of his preseason tape. We thought he looked good. He certainly did. McCoy did look good, or better, I should say, at least in the third preseason game when he was playing for Buffalo. Where I currently have them ranked, okay? So I currently have Damian Williams as running back 24.
Okay.
His current ADP is running back 21, although I don't think it's caught up yet with all the news here. In essence, I have him as a fifth round pick. I think I'm at 46 overall. So I'm as a fifth rounder. I'm as a number three running back, a high upside number three running back, a high upside flex. But certainly the addition of LeSean McCoy, you know, takes some wind out of the sails. In terms of McCoy, I ranked him, where's my current ranks here? Let me see here. I currently have LeSean McCoy ranked 33, running back 33.
33 for
33,
you?
Sorry. I don't have all top 250 of my players memorized, so I apologize about that. So I have him as running back 33. Again, Williams at 24, running back 33 for LeSean McCoy. Darwin Thompson is more of a dynasty league guy than any sort of redraft, you know, player. He was a guy that had been getting a lot of buzz here, but I think it is going to be a running back by committee. I think Williams is going to be the guy you want versus McCoy. But would it shock me if McCoy took this backfield over? It wouldn't.
It would not shock me as well. I think that LeSean McCoy is a better pure runner, even with some, you know, changes in his overall ability over the past couple of years. And, you know, think about LeSean McCoy. He's awesome in the passing game. Like, he's a really gifted wide receiver and he's going to find ways to make plays in space. Put it this way. I'll say this, though. If I were to imagine a scenario where one running back out of those two becomes fantasy irrelevant this year in Kansas City, I think it's Damian Williams.
Yeah.
Whereas I think LeSean McCoy is going to stay, like, he's going to stay involved enough for them throughout the season. Clay, just
but
for,
it's worth noting here. I'm just seeing here. So I am at 30. So you and I are pretty close, actually. Just looking at it right here. We didn't discuss this before either. So I'm at 24. I have Williams at 24. I have McCoy at running back 33. You have Williams at running back 27, McCoy at 34.
You're smart.
So we're both sort of right there. We both prefer Williams to McCoy, but the difference between the two of them is not significant. We have both as sort of flex plays with upside, as rather than starters that they were being drafted at before.
What's crazy is, though, the better value up to this point, like if you drafted Damian Williams, you're sweating bullets right now. If you drafted LeSean McCoy previously, you're like, heck yeah.
You're loving life.
You're loving the possibilities. Now,
it's unbelievable you get bailed out there. Last thing I'll say this here, and I just want to say this in general. I saw a lot of people taking victory laps on Twitter, a lot of people that have been anti-Damian Williams.
Yeah, come on. Ridiculous.
Being anti-Damian Williams, saying, like, we told you, we don't know why you used a third-round draft pick or a second-rounder on Damian Williams, blah, 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 blah. So, and I just say, like, that may turn out to be true. It may turn out that it was a poor use of draft capital on Damian Williams.
Sure.
But you cannot use the fact that they signed a player that was released 2 days ago as anti, because the people that were anti-Damian Williams were talking up Carlos Hyde. And it's clear that, like, that wasn't going to be a factor. Like, you're not allowed to take a victory lap. You may be able to take one at the end of the season, but you're not allowed to take one just off of LeSean McCoy, which just fell into the Chiefs' laps unexpectedly.
I agree on that. So this whole train got on the tracks or off the tracks, depending on how you look at it, because LeSean McCoy was released by the Buffalo Bills, as we discussed earlier on. LeSean McCoy is now in Kansas City. The incumbent running backs of note in Buffalo are, of course, Frank Gore, who's Mr. Ageless Wonder amongst running backs, and also Devin Singletary, third-round pick, Florida Atlantic, where Lane Kiffin coaches, scored a ton of touchdowns in college, exciting rookie. And during the fantasy marathon, Adam Schefter gave his fantasy sleeper, and this was his pick. You know, Schefty obviously has ears all over the league, and this was a guy that clearly the Bills have liked for quite some time.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if it was enough to cut LeSean McCoy up until this past weekend, but still, they liked Devin Singletary. How do you view the Bills' running backs as things currently stand, Matthew, with, I guess, TJ Yeldon sort of on the periphery here as well?
So, it's interesting. I certainly think, listen, if you've already drafted, Devin Singletary is obviously going to return a profit. And I have Devin Singletary ranked the highest of the Buffalo Bills running backs.
You got him 30th. I've got him 32.
Yeah, since Sean McDermott took over, Bills ninth in rush percentage, right? They're fifth in yards per carry before first contact, right? And you think about Devin Singletary in college, you know, out of Florida Atlantic, right? Of the 140 players with 300 more carries over those three seasons when he was in college, he was seventh in yards per carry after first contact. He was tough to bring down. And you'd say, like, the competition wasn't really NFL level there at Florida Atlantic. But the fact of the matter is all he can do is perform with the players that he's on the field with, and he did what he was supposed to do. It's clear that the Bills liked enough of what they saw out of Singletary in the preseason. He's had a great preseason that they felt comfortable releasing McCoy. And I know some people said, well, it has to do somewhat with salary cap. They saved some money on the salary cap. But still, sure. I mean,
you don't do that unless you have some more assurances. Like, if it was just about the salary cap, they would have cut LeSean McCoy in March.
Exactly. The Bills are going to try this year. I mean, regardless of whether we think they're rebuilding or not, the Bills are going to try this year.
No question.
They want to win ball games. So if they thought LeSean McCoy could help them win ball games, he would still be on that roster. To your point, if it was just about money, it would have happened in the spring. So Devin Singletary, I think, is a really interesting guy here. But part of the problem here is Frank Gore, which is always seems to be sort of the case. It was the case with Kenyon Drake. It was the case in Indianapolis, you know, with Marlon Mack. So last year, Frank Gore, 4.6 yards per carry, over 41% of his carries gained five or more yards here. Thirsty Kyle throws this up on the screen. Only Philip Lindsay was better among running backs that had at least 150 carries. So Frank Gore, still at the age of 80, has some spring in the steps, and they're going to use him. He's still going to get, you know, 10 to 13 touches a game here.
He is remarkable in so many ways. He defies logic with running backs, and he is going to be a factor, as you just said, Matthew. So here's my take on this, that following the Bills closely this year, over the past few years, it's a big process organization. It's a big do things the right way, and I think in some ways we have seen them be patient, right? Last year, start Nathan Peterman over Josh Allen to begin the season. I get it. That blew up in a major way, right? But I don't think that Frank Gore was signed to just sit there and then be a spectator, right? And he still has some gas left in the tank, as you just noted. I think at the beginning of the season, the Bills, if anything, will be a bit patient on Devin Singletary. That being said, at some point, cream rises, right? So one of two ways. Either A, Singletary outperforms Frank Gore, which I think is possible because Singletary is a talented guy with plenty of burst. Frank Gore, not so much burst. Or B, if the Bills aren't competitive this year, aren't as competitive as they maybe I forecast them to be right now, like if at some point in November they're, let's say, 4-6 or 4-7 and the Patriots are well above them in the division, maybe they say to themselves, it is time for the youth movement. It's the Josh Allen, it's the wide receivers we have, plus Devin Singletary show. So he feels like the player that gained the most value in fantasy football this year. And when you make
this weekend, yes.
When you see these season-long ranks, like 30 and 32 may not be how we feel about them over the first 4 weeks of the season, for example. Maybe you have more optimism in Gore, maybe you have a little bit less in Singletary out of the gates, but I think over the course of the year, yes, this is about, I think it's clear, he is the running back of the Bills that I would most like to roster.
Yeah, I agree, and I think he's somebody that, especially where he's going in drafts, to me, like, he's not going where you're drafting your starting running backs. So where he's going in drafts, he's going in the handcuff range, he's going in sort of the flyer, sleeper range, and so give me a guy that has more upside than Devin Singletary pre-injury, right? There are other guys that, if there were injuries ahead of him, but we think Singletary could easily be the guy over the second half of the year. Like, he's going right around, like, sort of the Miles Sanders area. You know, Miles Sanders is somebody we like a lot as well that we think has a lot of upside here. But two things also to note. I know you've talked about that. You've talked about this a lot on Twitter as well, at Field Yates, where you've talked about how, as an organization, they are doing things the right way. They are building from the inside out. This is a team that is building around character. Well, to a man, I have never heard anyone say something bad about Frank Gore.
Of course.
He is a guy that is beloved in locker room. So I think there's, as much as he's been productive on the field, I think he's also a key cog of what the Bills are trying to build from an organization in terms of attitude and, and professionalism. One of the last note I want to mention here is TJ Yeldon here. So it's very interesting here, but in the Sean McDermott era, they rank 11th in percentage of targets that go to running backs. Now, some of that is because they really had anyone to throw to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and they've tried to address that this year, right? Zay Jones seemed to come on a little bit last year. They added John Brown, who I still think has a nice year in him. I think he's perfect match with Josh Allen. They added Cole Beasley. They've still got Robert Foster there. So they've got more weapons in the passing game than they have previously.
For sure.
But it's still interesting to note that I don't think Yeldon may take enough touches early on that it's just annoying for Devin Singletary. I don't think Yeldon has any standalone value, but I do think he might be just annoying enough to drain a little bit of early season value from Devin Singletary, who I don't expect to be involved in the passing game significantly.
Timing is everything in life. Happy birthday, Devin Singletary. It's your birthday today. Hiring used to be hard, Matthew Berry. Multiple job sites, stacks of resumes, a confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invites them to apply to your job. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And right now, our listeners can try ZipRecruiter for how much? For free at this exclusive web address. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. That's right. ZipRecruiter.com/06010 for free. One more time. ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter is the smartest way to hire.
You're in the 06010.
All right, so today when the Texans get up, show up to work, they are wearing name tags around the locker room because there are so many new players in Houston, right? Like, everybody got traded this weekend, either to or from the Houston Texans. Let's start, though, with Carlos Hyde because he ties into LeSean McCoy, who ties into the Bills conversation that we just had. The Chiefs sent Carlos Hyde to Houston in exchange for offensive lineman Martinez Rankin, former third-round pick out of Mississippi State.
And real quickly, it's interesting. You and I were talking about this in the pre-show meeting, and I said, why would the Texans do this? Like, why wouldn't they just wait till Carlos Hyde got cut? Why would they trade assets to get him? And you told me you didn't think Carlos Hyde was getting traded.
Yeah, I don't think he was
getting
cut.
Sorry.
I think Carlos Hyde was on the Chiefs roster if the LeSean McCoy situation did not happen. That's my strong sense on it.
Fair enough. I thought that was interesting because I think a lot of people thought like, hey, he's probably not making the roster. But anyway, the Chiefs get something for Carlos Hyde
they
here.
Do, yes.
And my take here is like, this is great news for Duke Johnson.
Interesting.
I'm willing to be proven wrong here, but Carlos Hyde is now on his fifth team in less than 3 years.
That's correct. He is not. Here's what I would say though about the NFL, because you're right, is that like, there are a lot of warning signs that Carlos Hyde is not an effective player anymore.
Right.
That being said, Matthew, the NFL often evaluates running back traits in a way that is there's a disconnect in a lot of ways between how we like to rank players in fantasy and how the NFL
sure.
utilizes them. Remember, for the last few years, the Texans have relied heavily on Alfred Blue. Alfred Blue was like 3 yards in a cloud of dust, right?
Sure.
Like not an explosive player, and he
no.
kept playing and playing and playing. In Green Bay, we want Aaron Jones to keep playing and playing and playing. He didn't under Mike McCarthy. Like, there are countless examples of guys that are running backs that were like, wow, this is how they're being used. So I don't have as much optimism on Carlos Hyde as perhaps some do. I've only got him ranked as running back 41, Matthew. That being said,
you have more than I. I'm 45. You like him more than I do.
So I guess here's the question. He's now more on the radar than he was previously. Is he
sure.
worth a late round flyer now for you? I guess, would you even call it a flyer? A late round? It's almost like a late round, like, it's like a late round safety net, because I kind of think he is, only because no. like they had been targeting running back at some point this offseason, okay? The Texans had, after the Duke Johnson trade, after the Lamar Miller injury, we knew they were in the market for a player, and Duke Johnson has 104 carries as a career high in a single season. I think maybe Carlos Hyde is one of those players that, like, I might have to talk myself into it, Matthew. He kind of reminds me a little bit of what we've had with Frank Gore in previous years. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, Frank Gore, Miami, like, there's better, more, like, there's some better options there, but it's like, you know, it's not going to be pretty in most weeks, but he might sort of, like, ham and egg his way to, like, you know, 14 carries for 64 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's 100% fair, and I think Frank Gore last year is a great example as well. So, but you asked me, is he worth a late round flyer? And I'd argue no.
Okay.
Like, could he, to your phrasing, could he ham and egg his way to like having reasonable fantasy production? Sure. But I look at where he's going, right? And I look, he's currently going, he's not being drafted in ESPN standard leagues. He's currently going at 52, and that'll raise obviously because, but like some of the people that he's going around, like he's going around, you know, Justice Hill, Alexander Mattison, Ty Montgomery. Like, I'd rather take a flyer on all those guys, right? But, you know, obviously, Justice Hill behind Mark Ingram, you know, a lot of speed. I know he's one of your favorite sleepers as well. Mattison behind Cook in Minnesota, Ty Montgomery behind Le'Veon Bell, the Jets. Like, I'd rather take a flyer on one of those guys who, in the right circumstance, you know, an injury perhaps to his, would be a top 10 guy, as opposed to a guy who's, you know, best case scenario is Alfred Blue.
Right.
Right. Like, there's just no upside to Carlos Hyde. Like, the best case scenario for Carlos Hyde is that he's usable. Right. And I'd rather swing for the fences when I'm down there because there's enough usable guys that if I desperately need somebody who's quote unquote usable, like, I'll find, like, you know, like Theo Riddick, right? I know Theo Riddick's out for the first 8 weeks or whatever, but there's always a guy like that that can sort of get you, you know, 8 points. Like, I just, you know what I mean? Like, given where he's going, I'd rather take a flyer on Damian Harris.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I'd rather take a flyer on Jalen Samuels, who's going right there.
I can understand, like, you know, to use the Harris example. Like, Samuels, I'm okay with. But, like, for Harris, it's like, I can't envision a scenario where Damian Harris becomes, like, the guy for the Patriots backfield, right? Like, they've got so many players there. James Sony White,
Michelle
and Sony
Michel. Sony Michel's knee issue flares up. You think there's no way Damian Harris?
I think still Rex Burkhead's still there. Like, you know, James White is still there. Like, three guys. Like, they still have other players. Like, I think there's a clearer path to Carlos Hyde, not because of ability, but because of depth chart having
there,
to be.
There is 100% a clearer path there. I will say though that the last couple of years, if you just took the Patriots running back with the lowest ADP, you've made a profit.
Yeah, sure.
I mean,
no
like,
question.
You know, like
no question.
Sony Michel was going late last year. James White was going late last year. A couple years ago, Deion Lewis was going late. Like
right.
So anyway, regardless, but like. Kalen Ballage, you know, is going in that round. Like, you know, Tony Pollard's going in the 15th round. Like, give me one of those guys. I'd rather Malcolm Brown and see if something happens with Todd Gurley than Carlos Hyde. So I understand the argument. I even acknowledge the argument. But no, for me, late round flyer, I'd rather swing for the fences than get a guy that, you know, best case scenario is, you know, a single that he could leg into a double, if that makes any sense.
I totally get it. Yeah. So by the way, the other part of this conversation is what it means for Duke Johnson. Yeah. My running back rank for Duke Johnson did not alter this weekend. Did yours?
No, I mean, I'm at 28. I think
I
moved him up. I think I moved
him
up a spot or two, but not significantly. But I did think that the Carlos Hyde move was a good one for Duke Johnson, as opposed to like, you know, had they gotten LeSean McCoy or somebody else, there were other rumors out there. I think, you know, Duke Johnson, Carlos Hyde can hold off. So we'll see. Like, to your point, he has never been like that guy. He was that guy in college. He was the guy in college. He's the all-time leading rusher at the University of Miami.
So
he has carried a load on a college level, at a major college level. He hasn't done it in the pros, but that doesn't mean he can't. The addition of Laremy Tunsil helps the offensive line at least a little bit, right? So it's whatever their offensive line was, it's certainly a little bit better this morning.
No question. Laremy Tunsil is an awesome player.
Right.
Yeah.
So
big price to pay, but big guy to bring. So,
I mean, exactly. So
I'm hopeful on Duke Johnson.
I am too.
In the sense that I know Bill O'Brien's become sometimes an easy target for people, sort of bristly with the media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the moves over the weekend, you know, get attributed to him because he is the de facto general manager right now. He's also done some really good things with young players in that offense, and I'm hopeful on Duke Johnson. Like, maybe this is their, given the price that they paid for Duke Johnson, I am hopeful that they view him as a player that has even more upside and ability than we saw last year in Cleveland. Maybe not as much as RB11 in 2017 where he was, but a guy that could come close to that form, which is why we have him ranked as a top 30 back.
Last four seasons, his average rank is running back 26. I'm at 28. You have him right at 26. Both of us much higher on him than his current ADP. I don't know that the ADP is necessarily caught up to him, but certainly a world of opportunity for a talented player on a very good offense.
So the other part of this trade in terms of player movement was Kenny Stills goes from Miami to Houston. It's probably a bigger story in terms of Kenny Stills and his relationship with Brian Flores and the owner, Stephen Ross, of the Dolphins. But for fantasy purposes, I do wonder, like, is there any value here for Stills? Because quietly, he's actually I don't know. He's a really good player. He's actually a talented player is what I should say. Not a great player. He's a talented guy, though. Could he be an impact player for Houston?
By the way, 6 touchdowns each of the last 3 years, yeah. Kenny Stills. And think about some of the quarterbacks that he's played with, like Matt Moore, Ryan Tannehill.
Right.
I mean, like, it's been an ugly.
We have a couple runs with TJ Yates, which is a blessing.
Yeah, exactly.
Reunited with brother TJ, cousin TJ. Now
cousin
the Texans,
TJ.
He's the Texans quarterback.
I think there were some David Fales in there as
Might
well. Thirsty Kyle will keep me honest on that. But
you know, I think so.
Like, so my point is he's Kenny Stills is going to play with the best quarterback of his career by a large margin.
But
fair?
I think how I should have led this was, yes, absolutely, definitely the best quarterback of his career, is that I think the headline of Kenny Stills being included was, oh, this was Miami sort of dumping him because of how, you know, things that were going on between him and the organization.
Right.
Part of me wonders if Houston was like, yo, we actually value this player quite
sure.
a bit. Really fast. Excellent down the field. You just mentioned Deshaun Watson. So you've got him as a late round flyer now, wide receiver 52,
I believe.
Does it impact Will Fuller, though? Because Fuller, when he plays, is really good. So is this almost like insurance for Will Fuller because he's perpetually banged up?
I think it's some insurance for Fuller. I'm a little nervous about Kiki Cutie.
Yeah.
I could see them going 3 wide with Fuller, Stills, and obviously Hopkins there as well. Again, by the way, they had a couple of tight ends that went on IR this weekend.
I would love to see him go 4 wide a lot this year.
Right. I mean, they could do that as well.
So
I think they'll be creative. And again, we mentioned Tunsil now protecting the left side. That helps Deshaun Watson as well, right? I mean, that was one, if you wanted to knock Deshaun Watson, it was a bad offensive line. And one player does not a great offensive line make. But it helps.
Sure.
It definitely helps, especially when you're talking about the left side there. So, I think this helps Deshaun Watson. I still have him as quarterback, too, but I upped him up a little bit. And I think Kenny Stills is an interesting flyer. Now, he's going to need to get into the system and remains to be seen. But I think as long as Fuller is healthy, he's still the number 2 there.
Yeah.
I don't see Stills overtaking him. But Fuller's obviously had injury issues here. And I do think Kenny Stills is, given the injury issues of Fuller and Cutie, and given his own talent and where he's going in his drafts, like, yeah, give me some Kenny Stills here, especially if we're not convinced on their run game here. Like, we like Duke Johnson, but to your point, he hasn't done it in the pros yet, and we're not huge fans of Carlos Hyde.
It would be awesome to see this team play like what I think the Cardinals will play this year, like sort of like an air raid attack, because now they go 4 wide when Kiki Cutie is available. Duke Johnson's a very capable pass catcher. It won't happen, but it would be sweet.
It could be. See. Right. And so the other thing I will say is, like I said, I kept Watson as QB2, but I moved him closer to Mahomes. I moved him up in my overall rank.
150 or whatever it is.
Yeah. I moved him up in my overall rank.
Okay, good stuff there. Daniel, tell us about Sleep Number before we get to some quick hitters.
Yeah, when was the last time you really slept great?
Not last night. I need 6 cups of coffee.
Yeah, that's what it is. I mean, isn't it strange you'll try just about anything to sleep better when it actually just could be time for a new mattress?
Mm.
If you aren't getting the quality sleep you deserve, I recommend the Sleep Number bed.
Okay.
Right now at Sleep Number stores, it's the biggest sale of the year, and all beds are on sale. Queen mattresses specifically start at only $8.99. Wish your mattress could be firmer or softer? That's what the Sleep Number bed is famous for. You can adjust each side so it's just right for both of you. How about a bed that helps keep you asleep? The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts so you're effortlessly comfortable all night long. Will you love it? Just ask J.D. Power. Sleep Number has been ranked number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. So come in during the biggest sale of the year, and for a limited time, save 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. Find the one nearest you at sleepnumber.com/FFF.
Good stuff there, Daniel. Let's get now to some quick hitters. And the other side of that Kenny Stills and Laremy Tunsil trade is the Dolphins. Matthew, it is a full teardown now for the Dolphins. They are all about the picks. They've got like 47 in 2020. Every year there are a few offenses that just sort of stay away. You fade these offenses entirely. Are we at that point now with the Miami Dolphins, or is there anybody that you can sort of get behind, whether it's Devontae Parker, Albert Wilson, Preston Williams, in a 10-team league this year for Miami?
So, first off, I'm still on, I still think Kenyon Drake and Kalen Ballage are values in terms of where they're being drafted. Like, listen, Ryan Fitzpatrick is not a great quarterback by any stretch of the imagination.
But he's fun.
He's fun, and he's a professional quarterback. He can complete passes. Like, is he going to turn stuff over? Of course. Is he going to make boneheaded plays? Obviously. But he's a professional NFL quarterback who's been in the league for over a decade, who has had, moments of brilliance, right? Like, he's going to be fine as for our fantasy purposes. There's no question. Miami is playing for the future. They are tanking for Tua, right?
But no question. Yeah.
But in terms of your question, is there fantasy value here? Yeah, I actually think Albert Wilson is sort of interesting here. I know Preston Williams, wowed during the preseason, and certainly for those of you in 14 and 16 team leagues like that you and I are in, field certainly worth a flyer. But I want to mention Albert Wilson, who I think is sort of interesting here. I want to give a shout out to my buddy Scott Barrett, who does a great job on Twitter at Scott Barrett DFB. And so Scott tweeted out a graphic the other day, which I thought was really interesting, which is, I'm quoting from his graphic. Over the past decade, Fitzpatrick has targeted a wide receiver running a route from the slot on 26.4% of his total attempts. That leads all 65 quarterbacks with at least 600 pass attempts over this span. Again, the last decade, and is well above the league average rate of 19.9%. Who plays the slot for the Dolphins? It's Albert Wilson, who last year had some moments. I mean, again, in the lost season from Miami, there were some moments there of Albert Wilson. I think he's kind of a post-hype sleeper. A lot of people liked him going into last year, and then they had Danny Amendola and, whatever. It was a lost season, obviously, for Miami. But I do think, late-round flyer, deeper PPR leagues, give me a little Albert Wilson.
I'm with you on Albert Wilson as the Dolphins wide receiver I would like the most.
Fair.
I need to correct this on something.
Okay.
And I want to bring a good friend of the show, Rodney Rogers, watches the show religiously.
Okay.
Huge fan of the podcast.
Sure.
Just sent a note.
Okay.
We said that Kenny Stills will now play with the best quarterback of his career.
Okay.
Kenny Stills played with Drew Brees for a couple of seasons. Are bad on that one. Good point, Rodney.
That's a good call.
That's a good point. Drew Brees, first ballot Hall of Famer. Are bad. But over the past few years, it has been ugly in Miami for Kenny Stills. We like Albert Wilson as the still
best quarterback of the last 4 years.
Yeah, how about
for
that?
Kenny Stills.
Best
there you go.
In a while.
There you go.
Yeah, we're back on that
throw
train.
An asterisk of that.
N'Keal Harry for the Patriots goes to injured reserve. Now, remember, players that were placed on injured reserve after Saturday at 4 p.m. are eligible to return. That's where this thing is trending for N'Keal Harry, first-round pick for the Patriots. They also brought back Demaryius Thomas a day after cutting him. That, too, was procedural. So, N'Keal Harry, lost season here?
I think so. Not that I know Tom Brady, but just from what you see, right, Tom Brady's a rhythm guy and needs to know who his guys are. And so the fact that Josh Gordon is back, the fact that Julian Edelman is back.
Yep.
He's got James White out of the backfield here. It's hard for me to, and now you've got N'Keal Harry, who's going to miss the first 8 games. It's hard to see a way that N'Keal Harry has any kind of fantasy relevance this year. Could he pop in with a 2-touchdown game, some random game? Of course. You're on the field with Tom Brady. Stuff can happen.
It would mean that you think both Josh Gordon and Demaryius Thomas are going to fail this year.
Right.
And that they can't find somebody else in the 8 weeks before N'Keal Harry is eligible to play a game for them this year.
But let's just real quickly, because Demaryius Thomas, we didn't really talk about it, had a monster week 4 in the preseason.
Yeah.
With Jarrett Stidham, and it was against a bunch of backups, but still impressive numbers. If you had to pick a non-Edelman / Gordon wide receiver in the Patriots to draft, is it Demaryius Thomas or is it Philip Dorsett?
Or Jacoby Myers.
Or Jacoby Myers, who had a great preseason.
Demaryius Thomas. Big played, proficiency. He had up to the fourth preseason game, not had a particularly great camp. And now, again, he missed much of it because of being on PUP. I'll just say this. Sometimes veterans, a lot of it is between the ears as much as it is the health. In terms of health, he was healthy enough to pass a physical, so he's about as close to 100% as he will be. It's the NFL season. You tend to go down, not up, in terms of how you feel.
Of course.
I think that Thursday night, even against some lesser players, fourth preseason game against a lot of Giants backups, I think the confidence might have been reboosted there for Demaryius Thomas. And before you tell me, well, why did they cut him? They cut him. It was a procedural thing. It was,
sure.
It was a clear the roster spot to get N'Keal Harry on the roster for one more day, put him on IR. But I think Demaryius Thomas is the best non-Gordon Edelman Patriot receiver option.
Fair enough.
One more thing here. Jerick McKinnon goes to injured reserve because this was on Saturday at 4 p.m. He's done for the year. Again, it's just stinks for for Jerick McKinnon. Second straight year, he ends up on IR. Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman remain the incumbent backs in place there. We've got Coleman ranked higher than Breida. You're a bit more optimistic on these two than I am.
I am, but you know, it's interesting. I mean, I think both these guys are going, you know, going candidly a little bit too late. I think they're both values here. I think part of the reason why people didn't want any 49ers running back is like, oh, it's a three-headed monster. But now you look at this, like Matt Breida currently going as running back 35 in the 12th round. I mean, you know, so that's somebody I think is, you know, way undervalued here. Just so I am as, I have Matt Breida at running back 39. I have Tevin Coleman at running back 26. I think both guys are sort of values, you know, actually I'm lower than the ADP. I just noticed there, Matt Breida. I need to raise Matt Breida up a little bit, but I'll just say, yeah, I like both guys at the value. I think I have Matt Breida over higher in the overall than where he's going.
Matt, he's being undervalued both by the masses and by us.
Yeah, by us, apparently.
So there you have it. Last piece of news here, and this is sort of getting into the weeds a little bit because defenses and special teams are very hard to predict. But I'll say this. Seattle defense looks pretty sweet now. Jadeveon Clowney was traded there in that Houston Saturday frenzy. Jadeveon Clowney goes to Seattle. Jacob Martin.
This is real interesting. I'm sorry, I'm interrupting you here on Jadeveon Clowney real quickly, but I'm just looking at this real quickly. So just wasn't my notes here, but so Tevin Coleman running back 30, Matt Breida running back 34. I think Coleman's an even bigger value because let's talk about this real quickly because I think it's 65-35 Coleman to Breida.
Yeah,
I think it's
a little bit more on the Breida train than you are. I think it maybe is even closer to a 50-50 split.
Oh, really? I think so. You're like the drafters because they have them basically going in the same range. I think Coleman. Yes, I'm more bullish on Coleman than Breida. I think it's going to be like 65-35. I think for kind of an easy reference, I think Coleman is the Devontae Freeman in the Falcons offense under Kyle Shanahan, and Matt Breida is the Tevin Coleman in the Falcons offense.
So again, like the Spider-Man emoji,
a little bit right
in the locker room.
I like it. But either way, I certainly think both are being undervalued, especially Tevin Coleman.
If you like to dig deep on your defense and special teams rankings, the Seahawks moved up in the ranks for Jadeveon and Clowney. Their front seven is on paper pretty well stacked. Now, guys got to get healthy. LJ Collier, their first round pick, needs to get healthy. He's got that foot/ankle issue. Ziggy Ansah has always been a question mark due to injury concerns, but Clowney, we see what kind of shape he is in. I mean, he's an imposing player. I know the sack production hasn't been incredible, but hey, if you think the defense in Seattle is worth a draft pick late in your draft, I'm on board now.
There you go.
That's about it.
And by the way, one of the arguments that
I don't want to overdo it. I have people like, oh yeah, you know, like,
no. But I was going to say is like, just real quickly, the people that are pro Russell Wilson this year, you know, who last year was like QB9 and didn't rush for a touchdown, doesn't have a lot of passing. It's the run heaviest team in the NFL. One of the arguments that pro Russell Wilson people have been making this year is that their defense is going to be bad and he's going to be having to throw a lot.
Yeah.
And so I certainly think that.
Put that argument aside for
a minute,
right?
Exactly. That would be, I think you need another, there's lots of pro Russell Wilson arguments you can make. I don't think bad defense and they're going to be chucking a lot is one of them.
All right. Good stuff. Reminder, go to ramsheadlive.com for your final tickets available for a Baltimore live show just 2 weeks from today. We are back tomorrow. And reminder, football's back, baby. We'll talk to you then.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
Well, with drafts this week and getting ready for the regular season, you need help with your leagues, not just with season long, but also with daily fantasy. So want to give you guys some information here. Rotopass.com. Again, the promo code NOHUSTLE will get you 10% off. If you've waited this long, promo code NOHUSTLE will get you 10% off of rotopass.com. Again, all the rankings, tools, season-long stuff that you need to win, 10% off gets you, use the promo code NOHUSTLE at rotopass.com. And then on, and then for those of you who play DFS, how about rotopassdaily.com? I partner with Jeff Collins, the best DFS player in the world. You get access to his site and his projections on numberball.com, plus ESPN Plus and RotoWire and Football Outsiders and RotoGrinders. You get all sorts of tools that Jeff uses to win over $2 million last year alone in DFS. rotopassdaily.com. RotoPass.com. Check them both out. If you're going to play DraftKings or FanDuel or any DFS contest this weekend, you need RotoPassDaily.com.
Good stuff. Now I can say that big, we're back tomorrow, baby. Talk to you then.
Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
I think you could do better than me, because I don't think you could.
Jailbait, Bill Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv.
At Field Yates. At Field Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Barry convert you.